Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Revelation. And we are starting in chapter 18, our memory verse, Revelation 18:2. And the chapters, Revelation 17 and 18, dealing with the abolishment of Babylon. And talked about chapter 17, dealing especially with ecclesiastical Babylon, the religious side of Babylon. And this is lesson number 33. Does anyone need lesson 33? Raise your hand if you need that. All right. Very good. Several are getting those. Lesson 33, the abolishment of Babylon. Let's go ahead and say our memory verse, and we'll say the reference, and then the verse, and then the reference again, and begin. Revelation 18:2. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Revelation 18:2. And again, Revelation 18:2. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Revelation 18:2. Father, please bless our time now and help us to again look into thy word, and may it do a work in our hearts and our lives. May we be different because of the time we spend today, because we know that it's powerful and it can be powerful in our lives. So please guide us now into thy truth, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we've spent quite a bit of time talking about ecclesiastical Babylon, talking about her past, her present, and her future, and of course the future dealing with the time of the tribulation and what will take place. Of course, Babylon, as we've talked about, the fact that Babylon is a representation of the world, and the world is the world system that is against God, all right? It's not talking about all the people. It's talking about a world system that is united against God, starting, back at the Tower of Babel, and where men were going to build a tower that would reach up to heaven. And it's a system. It is a, you want to talk about conspiracy theory? Well, the devil is the great conspirator, and there's no theory about it. It's a fact, according to the Word of God, and his conspiracy has brought forth a world system, a cosmos system that is against God. Again, that's not saying that, for God so loved the world, that's talking about the people in the world, but there is a cosmos, there is a system that is against God, and it is against God, and it's divided here in chapter 17 and 18 by using two terms or illustrations of Babylon. One is the ecclesiastical side, that's a religious side, and again, that is the thing that John was marveling at. He couldn't understand, wow, this religion, the pomp and the beauty and everything of religion, and it's against God? How could that be? Well, that's been for forever. Religion, just because it's religion, doesn't mean that it's of God. You'll hear the world talk about, and they'll point fingers all the time. Well, look at all the deaths that have taken place because of religion. Well, that doesn't mean that was what God wanted. So, again, we've covered all that. And obviously in the tribulation, the religious side, ecclesiastical Babylon, is destroyed. And in the end times, it will be destroyed as far as the whole thing. So there are two sides to Babylon. And the religious side, what is interesting as we came to the end of chapter 17, it is interesting that the verse 16, it says that the ten horns, again, this is that united ten kingdoms or ten kings, which gave their power to the Antichrist. They have all united, and it says the ten horns, which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. And so we see that that religious side gets destroyed by the political side or the economic side, the military side. It will be totally annihilated by them. And so the world turns against itself, which, by the way, the world has been against itself, since the beginning. It's very inconsistent. So economic Babylon is number two, the economy, the economic side, that is the money side. And it's no accident that God tells us in his word that the love of money is the root of all evil. You'll hear politicians, you'll hear different people, newsmen and that, they'll say, follow the money. And it is so true. You follow the money and you'll find all kinds of things. And certainly in the end times, the world system and how it has become very wealthy, affluent enough to build up militaries and build up kingdoms and all of that, that world system against God, is it ever going to be wealthy? And so this economic side of Babylon is what chapter 18 is all about. So again, two whole chapters dedicated to Babylon. And very, very explicit about how obviously God's view of Babylon, calling it Mystery Babylon, the great, the mother of harlots, the whore, very, very explicit God is about describing Babylon. Well, here is the economy side, the economic side. And we come to capital A, and it is the description of the city. And I'm just going to kind of throw out some things from chapter 18that where we can try to kind of think about this, because Babylon is described as a city. We touched on it a little bit when we talked about the ecclesiastical side, the religious side. But there seems to be an indication this is a literal, there is going to be in the tribulation a city that represents especially this economic side, the financial side of Babylon. Notice in verse 8 it says, therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. So there is verse 9 says, the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and live deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning. There is a place here. It is perhaps the center of the economy during that time. That we get the idea perhaps that there is actually a city, there is actually a place, and again, it's going to be representative of the world system that is against God, but there does seem to be a place here. Verse 10, standing afar off for the fear of her torment. So we have this idea of seeing an area on fire and smoke rising up as far as the way it is revealed to John. And so there seems to be this idea there is going to be a center of the economy during that time, during the tribulation. And again, what's our favorite word as we go through Revelation? We've done it for several years now. What is it? Starts with an S. S-P. Speculation. Yes, we speculate. There are so many things we cannot say definitively, this is how it is, because the Bible didn't say. So we speculate, and that's what we can do, because God obviously showed, he's revealed several things to us. But we, and I'm telling you, book after book after book has been written, not only studies, but also fiction. It makes a great story as people try to, kind of guess how this is all going to play out. But we do have an indication there will be a representative city here that is going to be burning. The smoke will be seen afar off. It says, you'll notice in verse 18, look at verse 18, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses. I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong one. Chapter 18, verse, and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like unto this great city. So again, we have this idea, this is not just the world system called Babylon. This is an actual city that is going to be representative, could be the location of all this economy and everything. And by the way, we see that. We see that in our world today. There are major cities that are key cities for economy and financial matters taking place. Another thing that I wrote down here that is pretty obvious, this city seems to be located by water. Notice verse 17 of chapter 18. Verse 17, it says, "For in 1 hour so great riches is come to naught, and every shipmaster and all the company and ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like unto this great city?" Again, so we have an idea here that they're in ships, they're out there, they're looking out there, and they see from the water, they see the city burning. Verse 19, it says, they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, "Alas, alas, that great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness, for in 1 hour is she made desolate." Again, this is obviously, it would appear, a very major port during the tribulation. So we would be thinking of a city where it is a major port. It's going to be a major place where a lot of trade is taking place. And isn't it interesting? We've had people die. We've had, you know, as we think about the 7 years of the tribulation, but notice the crying. I mean, as I read chapter 18, it's oh no, this is the worst thing that could ever happen. I mean, we've had people die. We've had demon things taking place, you know. But now, what? Why is there? Oh, because it's our money. This is affecting our money, our city, our banks, our banking, you know, and the cry is loud as economic Babylon is destroyed. In verse 21, again, the idea of it being next to a large body of water, "And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all." Again, the idea of a great amount of water. So what would be the result of a giant stone going into a large body of water? Tsunami, right. And if you were to look up tsunami on the internet, there's now, I mean, there was a day we hardly talked about tsunamis here in the United States, but boy, because of some of the latest tsunamis that have been devastating, the last, you know, I understand there is a, and I think we talked about this probably a year and a half ago, there are mountains in the African region and some islands there that if they were to have a volcano and the boulders and that, or that mountain to fall into the sea, they say that the tsunami that would be created if that landed just right would wipe out the east coast of the United States. Now, you know, I've heard that for several years now. And so again, you know, we recognize an earthquake, just a jolt underwater causes amazing damage from tsunamis. And so just like you throw a rock in the water, the ripples that go out from that are amazing. And if it's a giant piece of a mountain or something like that, obviously that is why, again, I believe this is on a coastline of some kind. I don't think it's a river coastline so much because, again, that would not be the same thing, though. Again, we just don't know. So some would say it's ancient Babylon. They are rebuilding ancient Babylon in Iraq on the Euphrates River. There are different reasons why people think it is ancient Babylon. Certainly, I would not argue. I don't know when the tribulation is going to be. We have no way of knowing because it doesn't start till the rapture takes place, and that is, God doesn't give a day. He says no one knows when that is. But I would encourage you, go ahead and turn to Isaiah 13, verse 6. Isaiah 13 and verse 6. And again, we just speculate some different thoughts. Isaiah 13 and verse 6. The Bible says, "How ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand." Day of the Lord typically is an Old Testament term that we think refers to the tribulation. But it says, "The day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty." And then it goes on and it describes Babylon and a destruction there in Isaiah 13 and verse 19. "And Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldees' excellency, shall be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah." And so, again, we could have this idea that it's talking about actually ancient Babylon being rebuilt and that being that. But again, it doesn't say, because the truth is ancient Babylon was never suddenly destroyed like Sodom and Gomorrah. It was more of a gradual thing, though it was conquered, but as far as its destruction, in history, that has not actually taken place yet. In Isaiah 14, it talks about Israel and how God will give them rest after Babylon is destroyed. And so some more thinking, that's verses 3 through 7. But again, we just really do not know. Jeremiah's description of Babylon's destruction is very similar to what it talks about here in Revelation 18. So there are Old Testament references that would make us say, okay, or is it the rebuilt ancient Babylon on that site, or is it a city that is the same? It's very much like Babylon, only it's a different city. There are those that I've heard many people say they believe it's New York City, because it is a major seaport today. It is a hub of finance. It is a location of the United Nations. And all of that, by the way, there is a suburb in New York called West Babylon, which, you have to wonder, did those people, they knew the Bible and they thought that'd be cute, kind of like Hell, Michigan. But I don't know. I don't know. For years, I've had people send me information, oh, it's New York City and all that. The truth is, we don't know that New York City will be a major city during the tribulation. I still have my thoughts about that. I personally struggle with anything in the United States being a major anything during the tribulation. I just don't see it in Scripture. And I've wrestled with that for many, many years, because we are such a power today. But in my mind, I as I study the Scripture, I see Russia, I see the Middle East, I just haven't been able to find the United States even as a major player during the tribulation. And the only thing that would explain that to me is when the rapture takes place, the United States will be a mess. I think the United States has more Christians per capita and in key positions than any other country. I think we would be very vulnerable when the rapture takes place. And you watch incidents take place that are certainly tragedies and very difficult times. The Twin Towers going down, it just about shut our country down. You remember that. I mean, I remember it very, very well. It was chaos in the United States. We're miles and miles away from New York City. Can you imagine when the rapture takes place, what it's going to do? Remember the earthquake in San Francisco during the World Series. San Francisco and Oakland, and the bridges, those bridges fell on each other, and oh, it was devastating. I can't remember when that was, but the whole United States, it's like everybody's glued to that. Think about the rapture taking place. I mean, the rapture taking place would be the biggest event that has ever taken place in the United States of America. And we're talking about an event that will cover the whole nation. I mean, it'll be worldwide. We recognize that. We're not going to be looking at the world. We're going to be dealing with the United States of America. Key people will be gone. And I honestly, I still think, and unless, you know, things happen whereby, I mean, the truth of the matter is, the United States might be communistic by the time of the tribulation. United States might be Muslim at the time of the tribulation. I don't know. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know how long it's going to be. But I'm just saying, as I think about it today in my mind, I think of the destruction. Planes will fall out of the sky. Cars will crash along the interstate. I know wherever I'm driving, the occupants of the car will be gone. They will be gone. And they haven't invented autopilot yet. So I'm just saying, wow, it is going to be devastating. And so to me, I think if you could imagine, and there are scriptures that do, you know, that we understand could be this way. If the rapture were to take place in the U.S. enemy, do we have any enemies? Anyway, and those that have nuclear missiles already aimed at us, wouldn't that be the time they might go ahead and push the button? Because we'd be in chaos. We would be in total chaos. And I don't know, just some of the thoughts that I have. The Bible talks about the fiery arrows coming from afar and all that. But anyway, that's just some thoughts. So you say, well, where do you think Babylon? I have no idea. I don't know during that time where it would be. I know there are many major cities that have shipping and ports and all that, and during that time, it is very, very hard to say. So, we know this. We know verse 2, that it is a habitation of demons and spirits. In chapter 18 and verse 2, the Bible says, "And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great has fallen, has become the habitation of devils." It's become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit, a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. The idea would be vultures, and just death is just all around. It is, again, the love of money is the root of all evil. Is it the root of some evil? No, it's the root of all evil, and the money is demonic. We would think that the Ouija boards is going to bring in the demons, and the occult is going to, well, the Bible seems to indicate that money is, the love of money is going to cause the trouble. And so it should not shock us at all. And again, John marvels that the religious side is against God. That he marveled at that. He couldn't understand all the pomp and beauty of religion, the stained glass and everything. It's against God? He couldn't understand, but he doesn't seem to have any problem with wallets and checkbooks and all the gold going against God. Why? Well, it's because the love of money is the root of all evil. And so it is the habitation of devils, demons, just, it's filthy. I mean, every time I think of verse 2, I recognize just, it is so filthy. The hold of every foul spirit, just so nasty. And I don't know that God could make it any more nasty seeming. And again, we would think of it as, oh, you know, there it's going to be beautiful. It's going to be because all this money's poured into it. But things on the outside can be very beautiful and be very nasty and ugly on the inside. And when Jesus referred, you know, to the religious leaders of his day as whited sepulchers, he's describing exactly what I'm talking about. He said, you know, on the outside, woo, beautiful. But on the inside are dead men's bones. That's not so beautiful. So, anyway, should not shock us. It will have a worldwide influence, verse 3, for all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. Again, it is a financial hub that will have a worldwide influence. And so worldly, so worldly. Notice what God says, verse 4. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. Again, God has told us over and over and over, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. God has told us, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And yet, you know, what is it that's going to keep drawing us together? Well, religion will. You know, religion will, but also money. Money. You know, how many men of God have compromised for money? How many Christians have compromised for money? Could be a job. Could be, you know, instead of trusting the Lord, just taking a job because, hey, this will get me a lot of money, and all of a sudden they're not in church or they're going drinking or whatever. And I don't know, I could tell you of people that have lost their homes, lost their marriages, lost their testimony. Again, that money thing is always a problem. And God has warned us over and over. Well, it's okay to be rich. Well, you know, if God blesses you and God gives you, but don't be afraid to put a lot of it in the plate. Don't be afraid to support missionaries. Don't be afraid, you know, because this idea I just have to be rich. You know, you could get in a lot of trouble on that. And God he's warned his people, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins. And there is, you know, in our world today, there's so much sin in the area of finance, it is, you know, it's hard to believe. And this city is going to be the center. I mean, it's very obvious. It's exceeding sinful. Verse 5, for her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquity. So again, they've reached unto heaven, but God remembers it's always been. The world system and the money issue has been very, very, very sinful. Sinful pleasure, verse 7, how much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously. Boy, that's a good description of living a luxurious life. Verse 11, the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. And boy, you better believe, those that are making more and more money, when Babylon goes down, notice the list here. Verse 12, the merchandise of gold, silver, precious stones, pearls, fine linen, purple and silk and scarlet and all thyine wood, and all manner vessels of ivory, and all manner vessels of most precious wood, and of brass, and iron, and marble, and cinnamon, and odors, and ointments, and frankincense, and wine, and oil, and fine flour, and wheat, and beasts, and sheep, and horses, and chariots, and slaves, and souls of men. Interesting. Very, very interesting statement. Souls, right in there with slavery. Do you know, you say, oh, preacher, that's not even taking place anymore. Slavery and slaves it's taken on a new form today. And the new form today is selling women and selling children as sex slaves. And it's every bit as big and bad as slavery has ever been. And it is going to be very, very big during that time. The sex trade, the pornography trade, and you know, the pornographers have to have some way to do all this. And I mean, you know, when you hear of children being kidnapped and you hear of people missing and you hear about all those things, I'm going to tell you, most of the time, and I say young women, but it's not just women, it's boys. It's because now we have to satisfy the homosexual world. And I'm just telling you, this slavery that the Bible talks about here, it is more despicable than it has ever been during that time. Well, I am running out of time, so we're going to stop there. But we do need to take an offering. We didn't take an offering, did we? If you said you were going to give toward buying the chairs are here, by the way. They're just not here because of the shepherd's ministry. Ushers, if you'll go ahead and come. But if you could give toward that, you said you were going to, please do that today. and so we can pay for our chairs. We do have enough in our account to cover it, but you'll get to see those tonight. We'll have those set back up after the Shepherd's program. All right? Very good. Thank you. And, you know, I still have a few minutes. Let me finish this. Verse 7. It says, where am I? Chapter 18 and verse 7. The Bible says, how much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. So she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow. She's blinded by all of her riches. Babylon will think nothing, you know, and you see people who think nothing can ever harm them because they have money or they have wealth or they have a position or, you know, I don't know. There were so many people, you know, affected by when the economy fell several years ago. But I mean, you know, we used to hear about the depression, used to hear about stocks and bonds and people that were millionaires all of a sudden are paupers. And you know, we got to experience, I mean, I didn't experience it from the millionaire view, but I sure watched a lot of people that, you know, they bought a house. They said, we have X amount of dollars equity in our house. And overnight, they not only have no equity, but their house isn't worth what they paid for it. Overnight. You know, our stocks are now worthless overnight. My retirement plan is gone overnight. This is, you know, we are blind if we think something can't change all that. We are blind if we think, hey, I got money in savings. I got money in my retirement. Oh, I have Social Security. You are blind. Anyway, oh, you know, I'm guaranteed this. I'm guaranteed that. I've got Medicare. Wait till they tell you what happened to Dale here recently. He went in for surgery, and can I tell this? Yeah. And he was supposed to have surgery, and the doctor said, well, your insurance is only going to pay for an hour. I can't do what I have to do in an hour. What's he going to do, open him up and, well, time's up and walk away? Well, take him home and, you know, just kind of watch that hole. what a pain, you know. But folks, there's no guarantee. There's only one guarantee, and that's with him. We have a guarantee with the Lord Jesus Christ, and we know that. But they're so blind during this time, and it'll all come down. Sorcery, demonic activity, verse 23, that is going to be so evident. It is so evident today. The light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. The voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee, for thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. Demonic powers causes so much deception in our world today. And of course, verse 24, in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. And so many of God's people have been annihilated by the economic side of the world system that hates God. And so, especially during the tribulation, well, we know one thing that's going to take place, and that is that you can't buy or sell unless you receive the mark of the beast. And that's economy. That's the economic side of it. And do you understand that at Walmart, at Myers, at all the different stores, if you don't have that proof, that mark, you're not going to be able to buy anything. You're not going to be able to sell anything. And it's going to be the economy. And boy, people are going to have such a good time. Yeah, the world system. But anyway, praise the Lord. We folks, we never have to worry because our God has everything under control and he's going to take care of us.